Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up, top three at 6, our interview with Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champion with the Denver Broncos, longtime broadcaster talking about the zone blocking scheme and a lot more. That's on the way in about 15 minutes. You mentioned this earlier, and we don't want to downplay it. Coach Ron Herner joins us on a weekly basis, guys. He comes on the program, and Mike started out the interview this week by saying, yeah, Coach, you've won a bunch of games. And he was like, oh, I'm not listening to you.
You're red hot. You're undefeated in conference. And we didn't want to jinx it because, you had that kind of conversation. But now they moved to 7-0, 14-4 on the season. At 7-0 at home, I should say, 5-0 in the conference in the Sun Belt. But if you're not catching our drift, it was Georgia State taking down Southern Alabama on the road, 69-66. You know what? I'm going to Vegas. Maybe I'll load up on them against Troy. Go see what the point spread is on that.
Yeah, let's hear this.
Does that make me a degenerate if I'm betting Georgia State basketball?
You are a degenerate. Dave Cohen had the call, by the way. This is the go-ahead basket. We're just giving Georgia State some love because Coach Hunter, he's a good guy, man. We talk to him on a weekly basis, but they are hot.
12 on the shot clock. Simons trying to get in the lane. Out here to Malik. In the corner, Jeff Thomas sidesteps. Now pulls up for three. Good! Jeff Thomas knocks down a three with 37.2 seconds to go. And the Panthers now lead it by 4. 68-64.
Nice job there, Mr. Cohen. DeMarcus Simons, 19.2. He's averaging per game. We talked to Coach Ron about his guys, and, he's downplayed, but he's got the kind of team. They got to win that Sun Belt, but he's got the kind of team that could probably give some matchup issues in the tournament to somebody big and another upset.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Cowboys, by the way, announced they are not going to retain the services of Scott Linehan. He is out as the Cowboys' offensive coordinator. Now, here's the irony. You got a guy that I'm not going to say he's a lame duck in Jason Garrett. I think they're going to give him a contract extension. Mike, you don't make this move right, not find the head coach and the offensive coordinator. But, Garrett putting out a statement today saying it's a really good coach, but the offense just didn't live up to the expectations. Cowboys, as you know, in that playoff game, weren't able to get anything working against the Rams. And they only averaged, I think it was about 21 points a game or so. Offensively, not one of the better offenses with the numbers that you would think
but
they were.
Why is Jerry staying? What has Jason Garrett done?
Who knows?
I mean, and then Jerry Jones must go on every radio show in Dallas because every day on SportsCenter, I saw another, Jerry's like, you think you know a person, and I do know Jason, and I know he's a good, shut up already. You know what I mean? Get rid of the guy. It's like Marvin Lewis lasted for like a decade and a half without winning a playoff game, and this guy's done slightly better.
Yeah, so Cowboys moving on, looking for a new coordinator. They fire Scott Linehan today.
Scapegoat him.
Yeah, a little bit. Guy hit me up, Mike, and I want to mention this before we get to the top three because we're going to focus a little bit more on AFC and NFC championship games and obviously Hawks playing tomorrow against the Celtics. But guy said, what's the deal with the coach leaving for the Alabama job? Scott, he tweeted at us and he says, I just found out about, Kyle Flood leaving. Okay, listen, guys, he was an assistant offensive line coach that was here, had been here. Most of you might not even know who he was.
Right.
He got elevated by Coach Quinn to, be the clock management guy. I don't think this is as big of a deal as, it's just news. Mike, I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. We'll see if Coach Quinn elevates somebody else to these duties or not.
Right. I mean, look, the dude lost his gig at Rutgers. No one, you couldn't pick out Kyle Flood in a police lineup if you're a Falcon fan, and he's going over to Alabama. You got Malarkey, Cutter obviously handling the offense as a coordinator. I mean, couldn't Malarkey help out in this area? I mean, he's had to make these decisions as a head coach. I mean, two brains is better than one. We just want to keep Dan from doing stupid stuff with the clock. That's all it is, And again, hopefully, it'll be easier to make those decisions, Carl, on like crucial down and distance, fourth and one, because hopefully our offensive line will be able to pick it up this year.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, a lot of work to be done. That's provided we get all those things we talked about the last couple of days gets done.
Hey, we are Dukes and Bell. Find us, guys, on social media. We talk about it all the time on Instagram. Like us on Facebook, the radio station 929 The Game. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes in the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. It is a big weekend, man. We're going to find out who is coming to the ATL for the Super Bowl. Let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
All right, let's hear from Bill Belichick, Mike, on Andy Reid. Everybody thinks Andy Reid's going to make some kind of mistake because it's what he's done in the past. Here's Belichick.
Does a great job of taking new ideas, new concepts, and utilizing them in a productive and efficient way, and develops them within the framework of his system to just create more problems for the defense.
Listen, nobody's debating Andy Reid and his offensive genius. He had it in Philadelphia. He's got it now. But the question is this the best quarterback he's had that maybe can elevate, you know, the team to a different level? I know Donovan McNabb you have, might have mixed emotions about or, you know, thoughts now after his playing career. McNabb was really good. But when you look at the individual season that Patrick Mahomes has had, we are arguably looking at the best individual quarterback season ever, Mike, if he's able to win two more games.
Yeah, we were comparing his numbers to Dan Marino's first full season. Dan got a bit of a head start with an 11-game rookie campaign, and Mahomes only got it in like mop-up duty and one start as a rookie. But, yeah, this one is one for the ages, and this would be the way to wrap it up. And you know, MVP and maybe even Super Bowl MVP if the Chiefs could find their way here. But you said it. You didn't have to worry about the Colts. It was actually, you know, the Colts were screwing things up. They never got started. They were in neutral. And then Vinatieri took away any element of pressure that might have been on Andy Reid late in that game.
Right.
I don't understand how he lost to the Titans last year. They blew a 21-point lead to Tennessee. You know, and then there was – he was like he got away from what had been working, Tyreek Hill. And at the time was Kareem Hunt, of course, suspended. He's gone now. But, I mean, I just think with Mahomes' this X factor, you just – it's almost – is it Andy Reid screw-up proof to your point?
I like the Chiefs. We talked a lot about it in the 5 o'clock hour. I don't know if it'll be 40 points, but I think the Chiefs score 30, and it may be 30-24 final score. But the Chiefs are really good at home, 8-1 this season. Patriots haven't won there in a very long time. It goes back to 2004. I just think everything plays in the Chiefs' favor. Now, if Mahomes shows that he's going to be, you know, making these kind of mistakes that sometimes quarterbacks make in these games, then you got to roll with Brady, right? And if the game starts out, let's just say Mahomes throws one of those picks, and all of a sudden, you know, you start to feel that momentum, you got to think Brady's going to take advantage of it. But, Mike, I think the kid's going to live up to it this weekend.
Right. And then you mentioned Eric Berry. He says he feels pretty good. He went through if he goes through a full week of practice, that's not window dressing. He's going to play. Doesn't it mean so for Berry, who's that's huge to have for Kansas City, who also upped their defense in a huge way last week against the Colts. We just thought, you know, look, their pass defense is a bit suspect, but they more than got after Andrew Luck. Linebackers, like you said, Justin Houston flying around. So, yeah, and now potentially getting Eric Berry back in the mix.
What's Rob Gronkowski going to do? He is respecting the opponent.
I mean, it's always a heavyweight fight going versus the Chiefs, no matter when it is, regular season, playoffs. And it's just going to be that big and that tough of a matchup again. The stakes are high. It's to go to the Super Bowl. Both teams, we're going to be going at it, so it should be a good battle.
Yeah, Gronk's not saying, you know, I'm going to have a 150 and two touchdowns. He understands what's going to happen. But, you know, Mark Slareth, and you'll hear it in 10 minutes, said, listen, you're not watching. Gronk didn't catch a bunch of passes last week, but he was owning guys on the defensive line. He's such a big part of their run game, and you're going to see more Sony Michel this weekend.
Yeah, man. And what you're also going to see in this AFC Championship?
What's that?
Georgia Bulldogs. You know, Justin Houston, by the way, didn't play in the loss in the regular season up in Foxborough. You know, you're going to see Sony Michel, and a guy that's had huge games for them, guys from Georgia on the offensive line. Maybe someday we'll get some on the Falcons.
Maybe. Sean McVay, switching gears to the NFC. The coach of the Rams, there's no rivalry with Sean Payton. Sean Payton is an accomplished Super Bowl winning coach, whether we like him or not, and we don't. But you got to respect it.
As far as a rivalry, you know, I think he's been doing it at a really high level for a lot longer than I have. So I've got a whole lot of respect for Coach Payton. He's an outstanding coach, clearly referenced by the way that his team's playing this year, how they've played over the course of his career when he's been leading the Saints. So I don't think we're in that category yet. We've got to do things for a lot longer to be able to be mentioned in that same breath.
Yeah, listen, McVay is really good. I like him a lot. You know, but these are the games that are going to define you, right? Everybody's talked about what he's done with the offense there and the development of Jared Goff. That's all great and dandy, fine and dandy. But You got to win these games. And if you start to win these games and play for Super Bowls, people will start to really believe in this hire in Sean McVay because it looks
good
right now.
Well, they already do believe in him. Yes, they do, Carl. NFL teams are already replicating it. They're hiring other guys who even look like Sean McVay. He's got to go and win it, but everybody already believes he's the new news in the NFC.
Yeah, winning always matters. I mean, this is all great. If Sean McVay doesn't win and some of these coaches don't pan out, Mike, we'll see a whole different direction.
Well, think about if you want to talk about validation, I don't know how you feel about Ndamukong Suh. Imagine if he finally gets a Super Bowl ring after all the hype, the monster contract, Miami taking it from Detroit, the $50 million, all that. And, you know, the reputation is he's a quitter, no Valentine. Aaron Donald, the greatest defensive player, you know, I mean, held out again, got in there, and obviously goes back to work and might just win a Super Bowl. But you're right, McVay's got to prove it. They were down, 14 at the half or 17 at the half in the first game in New Orleans and then did come back to make it close.
All right, man. By the way, what are you thinking? I told you, I like both road teams. It's hard to bet against the Saints. They're just so damn good in the dome down there. Rams have everything to make it happen, and I do think that's going to be a closer game than people expect. I could even see a three-point game, Mike, in that affair down there in New Orleans.
Yeah, the Rams in New Orleans went up a point. It's now 57 for the over-under, so 34-23. Hey, look at me. I did math. It's hard not to envision both these games going over, even though, you know, the Chiefs being outdoors in cold conditions. That is the late game, by the way, 6:40 kickoff. Our time for New England and Kansas City. That's also a 56-point over-under, and both now are even at 3 points. So home team just getting those three you get for being the home team.
All right, man. We'll be back on Tuesday talking about it. Again, Monday, MLK Day. Many of you are off as well. Hawks playing the Orlando Magic. Pre-game at 2:30. Tip is at 3, which brings us to our Hawks. And Lloyd Pierce talking about Trae Young and where he's at with his confidence.
Trae's played with confidence from day one, and I think with each game the confidence increases. He doesn't need to press, really. The more games he's played, he realizes, I don't have to make the home run plays. I'm going to play 30 minutes a game, and it doesn't matter who we're playing against. He can just play his game and feel comfort in doing so. But when you're a rookie and you're coming in and your first game is against a Steph Curry or a Russell Westbrook or any of those guys, there's a little bit of doubt that's creeping in. You're just trying to prove yourself, and I think we're past that point.
Yeah, Trae's playing really well, man, and I'm not going to compare him to anybody. I'm just going to take it for what it is and admire what this young man's doing in his rookie season. You know, he's giving you 20 a night for the most part. Frequently around the double-digit assist mark. Those are the things that we're looking for Trae Young. So Celtics in town tomorrow. Last time Kyrie came to town, I went to this game, and this was the game Trae, after they played, was in State Farm Arena for like 2 hours shooting. And there was footage of him like Trae just came back out and wanted to work out. He did not play well in that particular game. We'll see what he does tomorrow against the Celtics.
You know, you mentioned Herter's done a great job. You know, Kevin Herter, kind of the forgotten guy in the draft because there's so much impact of what Trae Young is going to do. But, yeah, if you weren't there for the Thunder game that Carl and I went to on Tuesday night, electric atmosphere, just got to sort of, you know, big picture as we talked with Steve Kuhn, the CEO. I mean, yes, it's counterintuitive for young guys learning their way in the NBA. When they're feeling it, they're going to score points. But there are ways to manipulate the roster down the stretch if you guys do covet getting to Zion or R.J. Barrett for that matter.
Your chance to win $1,000 on the way. Hey, we do want to mention that Braves president Derek Schiller came on 92.9 The Game talking about the Braves. Believe it or not, we're just a few weeks away from pitchers and catchers. I know we're focused on the Super Bowl, but after that, we'll be talking more about it. And, guys, we got a lot of things to be excited about with Acuna and the season he had last year. I'm still concerned a little bit about right field, but we had Dave O'Brien on. That interview's online at 92.9thegame.com talking about a chance potentially of re-signing Nick Markakis. Here's Derek Schiller, president of the Braves, talking about our squad.
As you broke from camp, from spring training, you saw that there were a lot of great players and a lot of great things happening. You got some great play out of some players that had terrific seasons. I think this is a sign of times to come for a very long time. I think this is shaping up to be a pretty good era in Braves baseball again.
Like we said, Dave O'Brien says it'll be another move. He thinks we're going to trade for a starter. By the way, the Angels signed Cody Allen.
Yeah.
Got closed for years for the Indians. 1 year, not only a 1 year deal, $9 million. If you missed our show yesterday, the consensus is owners, it's not like everybody's colluding. They just all realize it's stupid to spend like drunken sailors on some of these dudes at the back end of their contract, especially guys over the age of like 30. So the Braves, we go get a starter, right? Pitcher? Are you going to want to kick the tires on Kimbrel? I know Braves fans get so nostalgic for guys that were here back in the day.
I know.
But Craig Kimbrel, I just don't know if he's got the juice. And you want – so Kimbrel would save? Look, I'd love to have gotten another closer. Like a guy like Cody Allen would have been great. Then Vizcaino could have been your setup man, which is probably a role he's better suited to. And then Minter could then be the another middle reliever. So you would have beefed up your bullpen that way.
I think, Mike, if things keep going the way they are right now, we could see maybe getting a better deal for Craig Kimbrell.
As the market gets a little tight for him and the interest wanes.
I mean, when the offseason started, we were talking about 15 mil a season for it may go down to 11. I mean, and then you sign him to maybe a two-year deal. I don't know. I'm just saying that's where it seems like it's headed. Real quick, Bo Morgan, you said Sonny Gray. Where's he going?
Sonny Gray is going to the Reds.
Ooh.
So apparently all they got was cash and a player to be named later, per the report that I saw.
I mean, you know, if we can't find something like that, you're much better off keeping Anibal Sanchez around for 2 years. Like, the Nationals went and took him. All you're looking for, I know he's not a guy that gets people fired about going to the ballpark, but he eats innings up over the course of the season.
Man, that's important. Real quick, Manny Machado's dad speaking. Don't you love this? Everybody's going, what's going on with Machado? His dad comes out and says, there's going to be a team that you don't expect that could be a surprise in the Manny Machado sweepstakes. So dad has put it out there. Obviously, that's not coming from out of the blue. He's been involved with his son's negotiations.
Don't tell me Dansby's gone, Carl.
I don't know. I'm just saying. Yankees, Dodgers, Phillies have made offers. White Sox are in the mix. But the way he makes this sound is – as if there's a surprise team that you're not thinking about that's going to be after Manny Machado, and he could end up there. We will see.
Who could do that?
Well, there's teams that have money, Mike. There's no cap. It's just, do you want to pull the trigger?
I know. Look, the Braves could. You realize how much money Liberty Media's got if you wanted to spend it? I mean, you got it. And I know people. I know we've talked about this before. Nobody wants to hear about the carrying debt or all this and nonsense. I mean, you're owned by a multi-billion-dollar holding company, owns the Bravos, but. I just don't understand why we have to sell. I mean, I understand the logic, Carl. We got a crappy TV deal, but there's got to be at some point that revenue stream looking ahead from the battery is going to be bananas.
It is.
I mean, you're one of the biggest landowners in Cobb County right now.
Yeah, this is what the frustrating part is, because the team's really good right now. We could be so much better if you went out and opened the checkbook a little bit more. But maybe, Mike, we'll get there soon. Hey, let's give you a chance to win some money.
Don't patronize me, Carl.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Tumble. T-U-M-B-L-E. Tumble is the word.
All right, man. Hey, lady, you want to take a tumble? 72881, send that down to the phone, and then be listening, guys, between now and 7 o'clock for a phone call, and pick it up, because that's how you win the money. We'll start again on Monday with Frickin' Hugh, with more words for you every hour, sometime after the top of the hour.
Mark Schlaer, three-time Super Bowl champion, on the way next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A Super Bowl is a spectacle like no other.
No one else has the NFL or Super Bowl 53 coverage like us, because we're your home for the NFL in Atlanta. Super Bowl 53 plays here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
He joins us on the WaitForward.com hotline. Mark Schlaer, three-time Super Bowl champion. And Stink, it's good to have you on the program, man. It's been a while since you've been on our show, but we certainly appreciate the time today. These matchups are interesting. And, you know, here we are talking about the Saints and, you know, the Rams, and everybody's going, oh, well, you know, look at the way the Rams ran the ball against the Cowboys. Do you think they're going to be able to do that and have that kind of success against the Saints?
Well, I know. Do I think they're going to have that kind of success against the Saints? Absolutely not. But, you know, one thing the Saints aren't going to do is they're going to run a bunch of run stunts and run blitz. One thing you have to understand about the Los Angeles Rams, and I've done three of their games this year. I did a game of theirs last year, or two games this year, one last year. And really interesting, Sean McVay was brought up in this game by Mike Shanahan. And Mike Shanahan is a wide zone running football team. Now, we did that at different personnel groupings when I played for Shanahan in the late 90s. It was out of two backs and one tight end. 97% of the time, Sean McVay is in three wides. That's what they run. The only time they're not in three wides is they occasionally get in goal line, and even in goal line they're in three wides, and then kneel down plays when they've won the game and it's out of hand. That's about it. So they base everything out of the wide zone, 18-19 handoff, 18-19 force, 18-19 pitch and toss. And it's all press that hole, cut back behind the center, and get the backside down. And they do an exceptional job of that. And all their big passing plays really come out of matchups. They get, you know, one-on-one with a slot receiver on a linebacker and some of the play-action stuff. But, you know, the Dallas Cowboys try to run blitz that. They try to stunt that. And when you're a zone team, you beg them to stunt because it designates the zone for you. So if two guys are coming off and all of a sudden a defensive tackle pinches and they want to loop around, that's so easy for an offensive lineman to read that and get to the second level before he normally would get there, which creates wide open chasms and huge running lanes. And you saw the Rams take advantage of that. The Saints will not do that. Alex Gibbs, my old line coach, my old O-line coach with the Denver Broncos in the Terrell Davis 2,000-yard days and all that stuff, he is consulting with the Saints. There is no way in hell that defense will run those games against the Rams because you'll get eviscerated if you try it. And Dallas really never got out of it. That was their game plan. They stuck to it. And, you know, they got gassed because of it.
Mark Schlereth with us, guys, Pro Bowler, Super Bowl winner, and we're going to talk more about the championships. But since you mentioned Alex Gibbs, I talked about him earlier in the hour. We had him here in Atlanta with Jim Mora. We got a zone blocking scheme, Mark, but we just don't have the horses to do it. We had a lot of injuries. Is it an attitude? Is it a combination of the size and the speed? I mean, what makes a good zone blocking team? Because we ain't been it the last 2 years.
Yeah, well, one, you got to have really talented players. And I always laugh when people say, well, you want a smaller offensive line, you know, quicker. And I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. You want to tell me Larry Allen couldn't be a zone blocking scheme? Come on now. You know, you want athletes to be sure. But the problem that you have in Atlanta is the injury issues. And when you get into injury issues with that system, especially today in with the collective bargaining agreement the way it is, that there's such a sense of togetherness, such a sense of timing, such a sense of having to work together, five guys becoming one, that when you have injuries and you separate and you mix and match and you do all that, it's really hard. There's no question. Look at the Rams. They're the only team in the National Football League that all five starters up front played all 16 games and started all 16 games. There's a reason they are so in sync running the football. And when you run the zone system, you've got to be able to have those guys together, cohesive, working together, seeing the exact same things, feeling the same things, and working together to the point where you don't even have to communicate. It just becomes, I sense it, you sense it, we see the same thing. That's been the biggest problem with the Atlanta Falcons is the injury issues, the shuffling around of the offensive line. That's a big issue, and when you get into that, all of a sudden, you know what you start doing? You say, hey, let's get out of the zone a little bit. Let's run a little bit more gap scheme. Let's run a little bit more pin and pull scheme. Let's do some other things. And then all that play action stuff that coincides with the zone running stuff that looks identical, all of a sudden you scrap pile some of that because it doesn't fit what you're doing now. And now you've lost not only the staple of your running game, but you've lost a lot of your big chunk passing plays out of the play action game.
It's a great explanation from a guy who knows, three-time Super Bowl champion playing for the Denver Broncos. It's Mark Schlereth. Stink, let me ask you this because I know you get this too. Oh, you can put anybody back there behind a zone blocking scheme. I mean, any back, man. It doesn't matter the scheme. You still have to have a dude back there, don't you?
Oh, there is no question. You know, we always laughed about that. You know, the year that TD Terrell Davis went for 2,000, the very next year he tore his ACL, and Elias Gary came in and had 1,200 yards rushing. And they all said, oh, you can do it with anybody. Anybody can do that. And I'm like, hell, TD would have had 1,700. You know, and then the next year, TD was still hurt, and Mike Anderson came in and rushed for 1,400 behind us, right? And they're like, oh, see, you can do it with anybody, 1,400. I was like, TD would have had 2,200 and broke the NFL record. Like, there's a difference back there. And a lot of it is just understanding blocking scheme, understanding what we're trying to accomplish. Everybody's part of it, whether it's the receivers, whether it's the tight ends, the running backs, the fullbacks, all those things become a very important aspect of what you're trying to get done. And the running back understanding blocking schemes and understanding how to read what the offensive line is reading, you know, that's when you really become good in that system, when you have the vision that the old linemen do and you can sense what they're going to do based upon what the defense gives you. So it requires a ton of patience, a ton of understanding, and you have to really be, you know, have some football acumen about you back there in the backfield. It's not just, hey, stick your foot in the ground and come back. You'll be fine.
Mark Schlereth with us, guys. Three Super Bowl rings, one with the Skins and two with the Broncos. One at our expense, by the way, back in 98-99. Mark joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, brother, the AFC. The Patriots obviously just kicked butt on the Chargers, look great doing it. Josh McDaniels and the way he's calling the offense. I mean, pound for pound, is he the best OC? Or who's the guy that's getting it other than maybe Sean Payton?
Well, yeah, I mean, I know you have to give a lot of credit to Josh McDaniels because I think when you look at them, you know, like you said, pound for pound, talent-wise, I think you'd probably make a compelling argument they're the least talented group in the bunch. You know, but they just find a way to get it done. They do such a phenomenal job, and I find it laughable. You know, I heard a bunch of people say, hey, Rob Gronkowski's on the way out. He didn't produce. He didn't have a catch in the first half. All I did was watch him whip the ass of defensive linemen. Damn good players. And Mark Ingram, right? Mark Ingram and Joey Bosa in the running game. I mean, he absolutely manhandled those guys. And then also, you saw them set up. They do such a good job with their power plays and the play action off their power. And then the wham plays. And you saw him motion in and set up a wham, and it was off play action to get a 31-yard gain over the top with a little, you know, with a little over route to Julian Edelman right off the wham pass. So I think he had a huge. He didn't catch a pass, and I thought he was one of the most impactful players on the field against the Chargers. And so it's not just, you know, we tend to be fantasy football driven, right? We all want to see numbers, and we want to see sacks and sack dances, and we want to see touchdowns, and we want to see catches. I look at other stuff. Like, I look at how you dispense justice on line of scrimmage, and you take people's will away, and that's what Rob Gronkowski did throughout that entire game, even though he only had a catch or two.
Man, before we get more into this Patriots-Kansas City game, because I want to ask you about Pat Mahomes, because you played for or behind, or should I say some good quarterbacks played behind you. Stinking good chili. Stinking good green chili, that is. What's the deal with this, man?
It's my little pet project with a good buddy of mine. We started the company 10 years ago. We just released some queso dip. You can find more out about it at stinkinggood.com. You know what? It's been our little pet project, and it's been funny because, you know, you start something like this, and you think, oh, it's going to be easy. And then you kind of realize what you don't know, which was plenty. Like I always say, if I'd have known then what I know now, I probably would have done it. But you know what? We've had a blast doing it, and it just consistently grows. And I know more about the grocery business than I ever intended to know, and a lot of it's not good. But we're just going to keep on plugging until we either hit a home run or go out of business, one or the other.
All right.
I mean, as long as your overhead is low, man, you're good, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably key.
Yeah.
What about
absolutely.
What about Pat Mahomes? 50 touchdowns during the regular season, Mark. I mean, this guy, you know, I said if he wins the next two games, we're arguably looking at the best individual, you know, single season performance by a quarterback maybe in NFL history, and this kid basically played his first full season this year.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal player, you know, and he's got upper-level quarterbacking skills when it comes to manipulating the defense from the pocket. I mean, he makes throws that are really indefensible. He made a throw against the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens played him as well as anybody. A touchdown, a corner route to Travis Kelce, where he did such a phenomenal job. He knew the defense he had. He knew he had cover two. He knew that if he just held that safety in the middle of the field, he'd never get back over the corner in time. And I'm telling you what, the safety played about as well as you could play it. And Patrick Mahomes held him and then turned and didn't even look, just threw it to a spot. And Travis ran, got it, and it still had about a yard before the defender got there. And it was you couldn't really defend it any better than the safety defended it. And it was still a touchdown by a good yard and a half. And, you know, it's just those throws from the pocket are absolutely phenomenal. And then forget about what he does outside the pocket. He's got an innate ability. You know, and I always say this, having a son that's a pitcher, people want to compare pitchers to quarterbacks, and I never do. It's like you have to have an elite-level shortstop type of arm. You got to be able to throw from different windows, from different platforms, from different body angles, underhand, overhand, sidearm, whatever it takes to get the ball there, and you have to do it accurately. And on top of that, you've got to be able to stay, even from a sidearm position, on top of the football so that you can get the RPMs on it so you can stay on top and you can actually drive it. And I have never seen, like, he's got Aaron Rodgers-esque type of ability when it's throwing off-platform. I've never seen a better off-platform thrower in my entire life than Aaron Rodgers, and I think Patrick Mahomes might be his equal or maybe even better, and I think that baseball background has a boatload to do with that.
All right, Mark, we got about 30 seconds left, big guy. Who's in the Super Bowl?
Shoot, you know, I mean, like, picking between Kansas City and New England is like eating a turd versus eating a turd with sprinkles on it. So I'm going to go with the turd with sprinkles on it, and I'm going to pick New England just because I, as an AFC West guy, can't take Kansas City, which means Kansas City, put your money on them because my picks are awful. And then I'm going to go with the home team in New Orleans. I think the Saints are really, really good. I think it's going to be two shootouts. These are going to be great games. I'll take the Saints and New England. So put your money on the Rams and St. Louis. I mean, the Rams, excuse me, and Kansas City.
Brother, it's good to talk with you. I'm glad things are going well, and continued success to you, Mark. We'll talk soon.
My pleasure. Be well, guys.
Just a dude's dude, man, a guy that's been there, done that, and always fun to listen to, and a great take if you missed the beginning of the interview talking about the Falcons and, you know what it takes to be that kind of an O-line, because we've had different iterations of the zone blocking going back to the guy he mentioned, Carl, Alex Gibbs, who was the granddaddy of it, and we had success in 04. You know, Mike Vick, that was his own blocking scheme with Knapp as the OC, by the way, for those who don't remember. And we go, Squid, that was an NFC Championship loss to Philly, right? That's the one that where Mike got hit hard by
Brian Dawkins.
Brian Dawkins hit Mike Vick so hard, I thought his lungs were going to come out of his body. Car.
Weapon X.
Yeah, Dawkins, Hall of Famer, man. I mean, that Eagles team, and that's part of those Hugh teams that we talk about. Right. Hey, let's get to the game winner tonight, man. Thanks to Mark Schlaer for stopping by. Great stuff and great takes from him. Mike, what you got?
Earlier today, I was talking to listeners, and again, a lot of talk now about masculinity, about how people are trying to, including Madison Avenue, stick it under the rug. We're losing our manliness here in America, Carl. So I posted a picture of the most manly of all men, Charles Bronson, earlier, and I said, I bet you Bronson would have liked to, hey, man. That picture cuts glass, by the way, doesn't it?
Yeah, he looks like, come mess with me if you want to.
So who is your, it's actors, we'll keep it in the category of actors, not athletes for this one, your Mount Rushmore of guys, the guys that were the coolest dudes on the big screen when you were a kid. For me, Paul Newman, Steve McQueen, Charles Bronson, Clint Eastwood. That's my foursome.
I will give you mine when we come back. 404-741-0929. That's tonight's game winner.
Take you back to a time of manly men or whatever floats your boat to your Mount Rushmore of guys for Hollywood. What's yours, man? You got an idea?
Yeah, listen, he's current, but I gotta throw Samuel Jackson in there for some of the characters he's played. Samuel L., especially Pulp Fiction. I'm going to throw Jim Brown in there. I'm going to go Joe Pesci, and I'm going to go Bruce Lee.
Wow, man. And it's a nice mix by you. You covered all the bases. All right, let's see what the listeners have to say. Squid, Billy, and Samuel, we'll get yours in a minute. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Who's your Mount Rushmore of guy actors?
Mike and Carl, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good, good. I got two. I got Clint Eastwood and Sidney Poitier.
Okay, good call, man. They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Now, when's this Mule movie come out? The Mule? Is it out?
It's out now. Yeah, it's out now.
Okay.
It's been out a couple of weeks. I hadn't seen it yet either.
Okay. Has anybody seen it? Hit me up. Let me know what you guys think.
I heard it's good, a little slow. All right. I've heard good things. Okay. I've heard people say, it's kind of like Clint the last couple. Not different from Gran Torino because it's a different dynamic. But he's playing an older Clint, because he's an older Clint. Yeah. You're on the radio, bro. What do you got for the guy, Mount Rushmore?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Man, I'm going old school. I'm going my man Bernie Cates, my man Fred Williamson, the Hammer, Black Belt Jim Kelly, the Karate Guy.
Right, right.
And last but not least, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He fought everybody, including Satan himself. He looked in his eye and spit in it.
You're going to have a real good laugh one day when it's on Commando.
Oh, I love that movie.
Which is,
Yeah, it's great. Commando. It's corny.
Sully, remember when I said I'd kill you last? That's right, Matrix, you did. I lied. And drops him off the side of the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
This makes me chuckle.
Commando or, I was flipping through one night and the Conan the Barbarian was on.
Oh, that's right. Destroy your enemies. See them driven before you. Hear the lamentations of the women. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. You can put Schwarzenegger in there.
Yeah.
Your guy movie stars. Four of them. What you got?
Hey, man. Well, Sidney Poitier, Lee Marvin the Marine.
Nice.
Big George Kennedy, Richard Roundtree Shaft, and honorable mention, Armstead. Make love to me, Armstead.
I can't, honey, not while these Machado rumors are floating around.
Richard Roundtree is a good one, man.
Yeah, and Lee Marvin, man, he's like my honorable mention. Lee Marvin was, what's so cool about these guys? They all served in World War II or Korea, and then they went to acting school on the GI Bill to get chicks. Basically, it's what Steve McQueen, Lee Marvin said it all the time, man. Who cares about how much money you make on the movie? You can't beat it. You're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
Hey, man. All right, I got Ving Rhames.
Good call.
Michael Clark Duncan.
Okay.
Oh, great guy.
Dolph Lundgren. And last but not least, Mr. T. I did the movie.
There's a Rocky theme rolling through that. How was Dolph Lundgren in the Creed 2?
Really good. If you've not seen Creed 2, it's really good. Yeah, man, listen, if you like the first one, if you're a Rocky fan, you're going to dig it. I'll just say that, and you need to check it out. I liked the first one. I got into the first one. Then Conti came in here and was like, oh, Creed 2. So it's really good.
All right, man. You're on the radio.
Five leather helmets.
Out of five. You're on the air, Montfrere, a Mount Rushmore of guys, guy, movie stars. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
This is where you speak. We'll get back to you. You're on the radio, Cowboy. What do you got for us?
Well, I got Mark Wahlberg, Matthew McConaughey, Tom Hardy, and Ashton Kutcher.
Going modern day, man. I keep Kutcher off that list, but I like the other three.
Yeah, here's the deal with Matthew McConaughey. He went on SportsCenter a couple of nights ago. He was talking with SVP about Texas, and I thought I was watching a movie. Like, the way he just
in the moment?
Speaks, yes. And the new Lincoln commercial, does it not make you think he's the coolest dude on the planet?
I told you the story, you know, a million times, but when we had him in studio when they were making We Are Marshall here in Atlanta, he's just one of the coolest guys, took pictures with all the women. Women in the office obviously were losing their minds, but no ego, no handlers. He just walked over from the Ritz-Carlton in Buckhead by himself. It's like, all right, let's do this.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy, man. You're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your Mount Rushmore of guys, guy actors?
Lawrence Welk.
Lawrence Welk. And then now, Carl, we're going to get the polka going to get your kids a swinging. You're on the radio. Oh, this is going off the rails quickly. You're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, I'm a Bengals fan. Let me say rest in peace to Turk Schoner. He just died yesterday.
Oh, wow. That's it?
Bring y'all down.
Yeah, thanks for the buzz kill.
Okay. I got Sidney Poitier, Black Belt Jones, Jim Kelly, Wesley Snipes, and Denzel Washington.
Best Wesley Snipes movie. Because I saw Passenger 57 the other night, too. It was on, and I'm flipping through. I'm like, oh!
You ever play roulette?
And he was in, what was it, U.S. Marshal?
U.S. Marshal was a follow-up to The Fugitive, yeah. Which actually was, it's not a bad movie.
It's not.
But I'm going to go with Blade, first Blade.
Yeah, good call. Blade was good.
Love the first Blade.
Blade was good.
And he's also a nice guy. I mean, he's had some issues with the government.
Blade didn't pay his taxes.
Yeah. Well, it happens. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for your four guys, Mount Rushmore of guys, guy actors?
What's happening, Chief?
What's up, Chief?
Well, check out John Amos, Chief. I want to go with Denzel Washington. I'm going to go with Clint Eastwood. And my favorite guy is Pee Wee Herman, Chief.
Yeah, you know, you're doing so well. Although he was in the movie Blow, Paul Reubens.
John Amos, man. Good call on that.
He was great in the second Die Hard. Remember that? Because he's actually in cahoots you know, with the general. That's not bad. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for guys, guy?
I'm
going to turn you off. I don't know where that was going. But
whoa, that was weird.
Nip that in the bud.
Wow, have a good weekend.
Please, sir. Next time you call, have your pants around your waist, not around your ankles. You're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Happy Friday, gentlemen.
You too.
Let's go with Robert De Niro. Let's go with Billy Bob Thornton in a remake to The Bad News Bear.
Okay.
Give me, two more, and I'm gone.
Didn't really finish the drill, but we appreciate you participating. And that guy hung up. Hey, man, you're on the radio, man. What you got?
I got Danny Trejo.
Nice.
George Clooney, De Niro, and Tom Hanks.
Right. Now, Tom Hanks, now he's sort of like the Jimmy Stewart for our generation, isn't he? Everybody loves him in everything he does.
Yeah.
Next movie for him is Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Good call. You put him in anything, man. You can play an action role. Obviously, you can play everything. Saving Private Ryan, my favorite. Like
he's
yours.
Solid. He's solid.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Wrap it up. Give us four guys from Mount Rushmore acting. What you got?
Robert Duvall.
Nice.
Tommy Lee Jones. Kurt Russell. Clint Eastwood.
Boom. Outstanding. Way to finish.
Good job.
Way to finish strong.
Tommy Lee Jones. Good job. Hey, that's our game winner, man. Thanks for you guys participating. And we're going to come back, clear our throats, make way for Andy Bunker. He's got a full show tonight. And final predictions on these games, man. AFC, NFC Championship weekend. It's Dukes and Bell.
Oh, so it's time for... Let me clear my throat.
Big shout out to Mark Schlaer for stopping by the show today. Stink was breaking down the zone blocking scheme and talking to us about what the Falcons need to do and giving us his thoughts on the AFC, NFC Championship games. As we wrap things up, and Mike's headed to the airport, guys. He's heading out of town this weekend. I like the Rams. but it's so hard to pick against the Saints. Now, I don't want the Saints here. I don't want them for Super Bowl 53. I don't want to see Saints fans. It's just what it is. But I'm going to pick the Rams, and I am picking the Chiefs to beat the New England Patriots. Keep your fingers crossed. Andy Bunker, what do you got working tonight?
Well, let me ask you this, since you're already talking about those games, and this is what we're going to get into in the 7 o'clock hour. What do you need to happen this weekend in order for us to have the most interesting Super Bowl storylines? And I know that what we want. I know we want Rams, Chiefs. We don't want Saints, Patriots. I get that. I'm with that. I absolutely want that as well. But what would be most interesting to you in the Super Bowl? What one storyline above all else would have you most? We're going to watch a game. We're sports fans. Everybody's going to watch a game. It's the Super Bowl. It's here in Atlanta. But is there anything specifically that would stand out above all else that you would say, you know what? I'd really like to see that play out in a Super Bowl. That sounds like history in the making to me.
Oh, well, I talked about it today, Andy. If Pat Mahomes wins two more games, he has had the single best individual quarterback season in the history of the National Football League.
See, that's what I'm talking about, Carl. That's good.
Now, for Brady, his legacy set. Breeze is 1-1. Can this young man finish a season off in which he set the league on fire? To me, it is an interesting, compelling story. And, oh, by the way, there's a guy named Andy Reid who hasn't won one yet. So, then you got Sean McVay, the new, young, best, next best thing, right? This is supposed to be happening to the NFL. To me, there are compelling stories with the Rams and the Chiefs. But I get it. Saints and Patriots, it's hard to pick against them just because of the experienced quarterback.
Your answer was too good. That was basically everything that I'm going to say at 720. So I'm just going to replay what you just said coming up at 720, repurposing the audio.
Yes.
And I'll be able to take a little bit of a break. And that's not entirely my thought process, but very similar to the way that I feel about the Super Bowl and about the way that I want this weekend to play out as well.
Make sure you stay tuned. It's the Bunker Mentality coming up. Full show tonight, guys. Sam Tarley, clear your throat.
Yeah, my top four guys that we were doing for the game winner: Denzel Washington, Robert De Niro, Vince Vaughn. He doesn't get enough love. I mean, it's more of a comedic actor, but he's a guy's guy. And Leo DiCaprio, he's had a nice run and is still kind of on it as well.
Yeah.
One other thing is, lots of sporting events going on, lots of fights going on this weekend, lots of football going on this weekend, but keep in mind golf. Phil Mickelson on the leaderboard right now, the old guy. And Tiger Woods going to make his season debut next week, Torrey Pines, Farmer Insurance Open.
All right, man. I'm with you on that, by the way, because I love the game. Hey, quick reminder, Intercom's big game weekend. It's going to be at Atlanta City Hall from January 31st to February 2nd. The welcome party on January 31st is hosted by Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, Jermaine Dupri and the So-So Def family. Bunch of performances, guys. Sneaker Bowl on February 1st. Hosted by my man, DJ Greg Street. Special guest to be announced. Night of Legends, February 2nd. Hosted by Bill Bellamy. Honoring T.I., Jeezy, and more to be announced. And a legendary performance by Big Daddy Kane. Visit the website, 929thegame.com, for more information. Bo Morgan, clear your throat.
So I went Eastwood, Bruce Willis, John Wayne, and Denzel Washington. By the way, you want somebody to blame if the Saints make the Super Bowl? Blame Fletcher Cox, because the Saints saw it on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.